ladies and gentlemen, it's Hawk coming to you live at 6:01. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, it is about 6:01. No, it's 9:10:2021. And I will tell you, as we look at a more grim future, based on threats from our own government against us, where our own government, our own president, basically threatened 80 million Americans, And if their vaccines work so well, why is it that Red China Joe, who took $1.45 billion, or at least his son did, don't you know, from the Red Chinese, why is the Red China Joe says you got to protect the vaccinated from the unvaxxed? And then why does he threaten anybody, any governor, who he says he's going to use all of his power as president to get the undermining governors out of the way? What's he going to do? Shoot them? Kill them? Arrest them? Take over their states? Bring in, what's his name, Herr Hinkelmeister, frickin' Stunkern, Bunkum, Baka, Baka, Sturman Pewer of the Northcom, General Hinkelmeyer or Hinkelmeister? Gonna put the Northcom, or is he gonna use the Red Chinese and have a crack 10,000 man Afghani strike team, okay, to come in and in resistant areas? They can come in and just cut people's heads off. Red China Joe, you got to go, boy. You got to go. Red China Joe, the best president money can buy, and the best one that can salute to Lucifer. His god is Lucifer, and the Red Chinese are the instruments now of the New World Order Luciferian plan to go and to depopulate this planet and to destroy about 70 to 90% of the population. They only want 500 million on planet Earth. That's the Georgia Guidestone number, 500 million in perpetuity and harmony, enslaved by Lucy and his fallen angels and minions to do their bidding in a counterfeit of Lord Jesus. The devil wants to counterfeit Lord Jesus, our Savior, his life, and it ain't going to work. Because I tell you what, there's power in the blood of Jesus. And if you're called to the Lord Jesus and you're with him and he's with you, then you know where you're going to go if anything happens. If you're in the fight, if you're standing up for the right, if you're standing in the gap against the evil, you got the full armor of God on, you got your own level 4, level 3, or 3A body armor and your helmet. You got your shin pads, your knee pads, you got all the stuff. You got all of your magazines loaded. You got 10 or 12, 30 rounders ready to roll. You got your fighting load on. Or maybe your house load and your fighting load, but you got your fighting load on. You got your gas mask. You got also your K-bar knife sharpened up, or your Gerber, or whatever it is you like. But the fact of the matter is that what Biden is doing is in violation of the Nuremberg laws, the Nuremberg rule. You cannot force people. Oh, they say you can, but if you do, you're in violation of the Nuremberg laws, and you're either a Nazi or a commie. But you see, Nazis, National Socialist, isn't. Now, while I've still got my thinking cap on here a little bit, I wanted to talk about 9/11. And I pray that we do not have another one here pretty quick, perpetrated by the same people who did it. Now I'm going to talk to you about the same people. I was watching some of the history of it earlier today. They knew about and watched these jihadis and all these cells, the FBI did. Do you know that the first World Trade Center bombing, that the FBI had the guy in there, Imad Salim, as their person inside of the deal, but they refused to pay him because he wouldn't wear wire. He wouldn't wear one of those giant tape recorder things with the wire and have to run it down through his underwear and up through the deal because they would look at it. They were not dumb. They were not dumb. They could see that kind of stuff, all right? And even when he worked with the blind sheik, they had a briefcase recorder that had a green light sitting on the top of the recorder. And if it went out, it wasn't working, it turned to red and flashed or something. But the FBI would not pay him. Consequently, they brought in another bomb cooker called Ramzi Youssef, who was one of the nephews of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. So they knew about that, and they actually started following a lot of this when the Russians invaded Afghanistan, you see. And then the CIA supported all kind of people. They supported the Mujahideen. And then you had a guy named Tim Osman. Known in the CIA as Tim Osman, Osman. And Tim Osman was taken around by a very smart scientific type in the world of military and spooks and spies and what have you, Michael Reconosciuto. Michael Reconosciuto took Tim Osman around to certain aerospace companies, and they bought with his checkbook a lot of the shoulder-fired missiles, you see, the man pads, they call them, the Stingers. They bought a lot of the Stingers that were then utilized against the Russian Hind helicopters. They bought other stuff, too. But Reconosciuto is the inventor of the, quote-unquote, the fuel air bomb, the most massive bomb outside of nuclear weapons that you could drop. It just vaporizes everything because it's a fuel air bomb, hugely powerful. I think they dropped one time at Eglin just to test it. I know they used to test Moabs there. Mother of all bombs and all that, and the rolling cartwheel bombs, all those things. They suggested Eglin Air Force Base on the back lot. But Reconosciuto took on Tim Osman. Now, what's also notable prior to that is that Osama bin Laden and Salim bin Laden were the business partners of George W. Bush out in West Texas in the oil patch. And they were partners in a corporation called Arbusto Energy. Now, that used to be able to find that in a Wall Street Journal story. That could be sanitized by now. A lot of stuff goes down the memory hole, but they originally wrote about it. Also, there used to be, I believe, what's that town, Midlothian or whatever out there in the time, you know, the Daily Fish Wrap, there used to be one where it had a whole article, and I bet you it's been taken out of the microfish by now. Years ago, I think they took it out. But anyway, they had a whole feature story on the Bin Laden brothers coming over to become partners in Arbusto Energy with our local bright young lad, George W. Bush, okay? son of George Herbert Walker Bush, right? In our Boosto energy. And then Salim bin Laden had a weird plane crash, which was not investigated by the National Transportation Safety Board. As far as I know, it was not. Allegedly, it was not. But it was cleaned up quickly by the U.S. military, apparently, allegedly. And then Osama and George W. were the partners. And then Salim had been the head of his father's huge construction company in Saudi Arabia that did a lot of, back in the 40s, 50s, did a lot of the updating of the Mecca, the big mosque in Mecca. But, you see, Tim Osman, as Osama bin Laden, was a business partner of George W. Bush. So that changes things. Or the fact that, let's just give a few other things. I'll go down, and I'm not going to give you the whole history, because you can look it up. But what I realized, this, I was talking to a very bright young man. You know, I talk to him on a periodic basis because it's a business that I go to. And I talked to him about some of the stuff that might be on the show and all of that and other things. And I always warn him to get prepared and, you know, what I'm saying. So consequently, I asked him, I said, well, you know all about 9/11. I said, well, yeah, it's the, you know, the Muslims did. I said, oh, they did, huh? I said, did you know that there was allegedly Dov Zakheim, who was, I believe, allegedly the comptroller of the Pentagon, allegedly, and also a dual citizen of Israel, allegedly, and that Dov Zakheim owned some kind of a factory, allegedly, that processed and designed systems for flying 727s or 737s, any kind of a commercial aircraft, or flying military aircraft by wire, meaning by remote control, okay, for your old timers, remote control of aircraft. Isn't that interesting? Or I said, did you know that there were about two or three separate drills that day, one of which, of course, was being overseen in the bunker of the Pentagon, down inside the Pentagon, where a man named, Darth Dove Hunter Cheney. Now, for you young people who don't know that, Dick Cheney was the Vice President of the United States. They call him Darth Vader, the Black Darth Vader, or whatever, you know. But I call him Darth Dove Hunter because when they were doing a dove hunting deal, he got mad, and Cheney drank about a fifth of whiskey, apparently, or allegedly. And he got mad, and his attorney would not do something he wanted him to do, and he shot the man with the shotgun, which then they didn't report it, didn't kill him at the time, but they did not report the incident to the local high sheriff for a number of hours till Cheney could get out of the place and not be drunk as a skunk and all of that. But Dark Dove Hunter was in charge of the drill. And you had apparently a Lieutenant J.G., Navy Lieutenant J.G., or perhaps a captain, I don't recall exactly. I think it was Lieutenant J.G., was saying, Mr. Vice President, there's an incoming flight, coming in directly at such and such. Do you want to scramble jets? No. Well, it's out at about 100 miles. No, we don't want to scramble jets. Okay. Mr. Vice President, it's now about 65 miles out. He said, did you hear me? I do not want to scramble jets, okay? And then he says, about 20 miles out. He says, I told you I'm not scrambling jets, all right? So then, and apparently when at a certain point in time at that point, then they scramble some jets from Langley, but they don't tell the jets that there's any kind of a impending doom, okay, or that it's highly necessary. So the jets from Langley don't even hit their afterburners. These are the little things that go bye-bye in the history over 20 years. But we could go back before that, but let's just work on that a little bit. So in the course of the drill, either a missile or a plane, depending on what you do, because the hole's not really that large, crashed into the Pentagon. And then we have also, if you look up the Happy Hooligans, fighter air cover that was on duty over the Capitol and over all of that and over towards Pennsylvania, Shanksville. Well, that, if you look them up, they're the ones that, even though valiant Americans who said, let's roll and rush that cockpit to try to take them out, okay, that thing blew up and that wreckage was spread, widespread. That thing blew up because it was taken out by one of the Happy Hooligans who, as I recall, were either from North Dakota or South Dakota. It was a squadron, a fighter squadron, that were on duty, the same kind of duty that when Payne Stewart, the golfer's aircraft, when he had a heart attack or whatever, or a stroke while he was flying that plane, or he got incapacitated and the plane was just meandering, they sent up fighter jets to be able to take it out if necessary. So consequently, those things are interesting. All right? But then, you know, if you go and look earlier at things prior to that, you see, but Cheney was in charge of the drill that allowed the thing to come on into the Pentagon. But see, this is not talked about. Now we talk about the deaths of all the people, which was horrendous. But then I also recall, and this is very important, I recall that Rick Wiles, well, let me start first on this. There was a woman named Tatiana Karajnaya, who was Vladimir Putin's expert on secret societies, high Masonic things, all kind of secret societies, and their impact on economics and on government and on policies and wars and that kind of stuff, like the Bilderbergers or like those that go to the out there to California to the Russian River place, you know, the where Alex Jones went in and watched the ceremony at the Big Owl and all of that. Who Walter Cronkite used to be the voice of the owl, you see. Bohemian Grove, all right? But she was the expert on all of that. And I recall Alex Jones had information, I believe, that it might have been in either March or May. I think it was somewhere near March, April, or May, where he stated on air, and I remember hearing it, him saying, you better tell if you know what you're doing, you better, you know, email or send a telegram or write a letter or whatever and call and tell George Bush not to allow Osama bin Laden to bomb the Twin Trade Towers again, okay? And Alex said that and stated as a warning. Then Tatiana Karajnaya made a warning to Russian business people inside the United States. There was a lot of them. The money was flowing, everything, we're at peace, and all that, blah, 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 and the perestroika, all the stuff that, the fall of the wall, all of that. And there was investment by Russians inside the United States that were running businesses, and a lot of people came over here and immigrated and all of that. But Tatiana Karajnaya warned of a plot that she had heard about, that there somebody was going to take down the World Trade Center or destroy the stock market in New York City, and that Russian businessmen should get their money out of the stock market in the United States and also to get out of the United States with their money, to get away from it, because there was something going to happen, you know, in the end of summer that was going to take down the stock market, a terror event or some kind of a big event. Now, that doesn't mean that Putin planned it. He didn't. She heard about it, that it was going to be done by people involved with what you might call the secret societies. She then warned again at the end. I think she warned in maybe June, then she warned again at the end of July or first part of August, that pretty quickly they were going to take out, do something to crash the stock market in the United States for Russians to get their money out. Well, Brother Rick Wiles, and he later on, after the 9/11 and all of that, it was close to Christmas, and it may have been right after Christmas, I'm not sure, of that year. He got in touch and got Tatiana Karajnaya on for an interview with an interpreter. And they discussed the whole thing, and she said, he asked her who was responsible for it and all of that, and she said that the people who planned it and who authorized it and hired the Jihadi Joe boys, Muhammad Atta and all the different ones, and the CIA knew most of them were in the country or came into the country, because a lot of them were ensconced down in Florida in the old CIA and dope smuggler learn how to fly places. Some were out in California that they knew about, but they didn't really tell anybody about. Then the FBI knew about some others that were in another place, all right? So they were all in this deal. The FBI really gets upset about that because they think the CIA did it. But let me tell you something. The FBI is the one that wouldn't keep Edom Saleman, or whatever his name was, in the first deal. I think he was the Egyptian army officer. And when they had asked, he had asked them, do you want me to give inert chemicals for them to make the bomb? He was cooking the bomb, the first bomb or whatever. Or do you want me to put real stuff in? The FBI handler said, oh, put the real stuff in, for sure. So just so you know that. And that came out in the trial of Ramzi Youssef, by the way. You could look all of that up and the transcripts of that if you're so inclined. But I felt it important here, once again, to restate why I'm talking about this, is for all of the people, an entire generation does not know any of this information because they were either not born or they were too young to recall or to be listening to Steve Quayle or Alex Jones or to the later on, you know, to the Hawk or something, you see. But who are now listening and are in the game being more aware through the internet, etc. But they don't know any of it because none of this is in vogue anymore and has been, you know, reduced. I mean, Alex Jones did the book, 9/11, Descent into Tyranny. And here I want Alex sign this book when I got it from him. It says, Alex Jones, Death to the New World Order. And it goes into there. And he made videotapes back and then, several of them. And he talked about who was involved and all of the stuff. And then all kind of other people. Okay, but let me just go back to this part. So Tatiana Karajnaya, in talking with her, Wiles, Rick asked her who was responsible. He says, was it the high Masonic people and all of that? She said, they're involved, but that's not the key. You see, the key is, and what she called it, was the Death's Head Group. The Death's Head Group. Well, guess what that is? The Skull and Bones. The Skull and Bones. And she said that people who were worth over, back then, over $300 billion were the ones that were trying to destroy and knock the stock market down, to cause the United States to collapse and to go into a martial law being necessary so they could establish the new world order. All right? In that same kind of era, you had Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard. All right? And in that, he basically says that the United States should become the hegemon in Asia. And the way to do that, he says, is perhaps it would be necessary to have some of the Afghani Mujahideen to try to strike a blow against the Twin Trade Towers again, or against something in New York City that would then galvanize the American people in a sort of like a Pearl Harbor type moment to then go against Afghan, take Afghanistan and become the hegemon and the sitting there, and to build your Bagram Air Force Base that had all kind of jets and all kind of stuff, and you had troops there, and you could then nail Iran, China, Russia, Pakistan, and you were sitting right in the catbird seat, and you could sit there with high quality air power and control and dominate the region. You also could then, if you were smart, take the lithium mines and develop those, develop the second largest deposits of oil and natural gas that are really not tapped on the planet. It also has a lot of gold to be mined, a lot of silver, gold, coal, iron ore, all the different things, and then lithium, which is, you know, lithium-ion batteries, lithium batteries in the car, you see. And that was what Zbigniew Brzezinski did and wrote in his book, The Grand Chessboard. And The Grand Chessboard, just I'll give you the information. The Grand Chessboard, American Primacy and Its Geostrategic Imperatives, okay? And he wrote this, it was copyright 1997 by Zbigniew Brzezinski for Perseus Books. Copyright 1997, Zbigniew Brzezinski. All right, so we're in his technotronic age and they're using food as a weapon. Just like he talked about and Heinz Kissinger talked about. So anyway, we have Tatiana Krasnia telling Rick Wiles that it was basically a group of men, over $300 billion in net worth of various places, but also associated mainly with the Death's Head Group. Well, who runs the Skull and Bones? At the time, you had Kerry was there, Hound Dog Kerry. You had also George W. Bush. You had Poppy Bush. You had Prescott Bush. All right? And Prescott Bush is one that apparently back in the day, allegedly, that they got Geronimo's skull and used to drink blood out of it, okay, in rituals, or allegedly, and that they dug him up at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, whatever, from the grave and took it. Now, that would give you an idea of that, but if you go back to the Skull and Bones, allegedly, at Yale, that's chapter 322 of the Bavarian Illuminati. You see how this game plan is real old. It's like, oh, page 247, it's game plan number 653X666XYZ, you know? So, Skull and Bones. So now, if we then go into it, it's interesting is that the Twin Trade Towers had a lot of asbestos in them to make them fireproof. They had a lot of asbestos, and it could be something that needed to be abated, but it would cost too much to abate it. But there's always in these things, there's like try to kill in the intelligence world three or four birds with one stone, you see, or two stones, two airplanes. So, we also know that when you look into the studies done by some engineering associations, and you can look this up, engineers studying the possibilities that thermite was used as cutting charges to bring down the Twin Trade Towers after the planes hit each tower, but that thermite cutting charges were in there and may have been painted on in some sort of a way onto those thin things, because you see, the construction of the Twin Trade Towers, part of the strength of it was these metal floors that they had created, each of these metal joists and stuff in the floors and that wrapped around the outside, the edge of the building, which then had those sheets that looked like the windows, you know, the window sheets of steel or whatever, that were quickly sold to Red China for scrap so nobody could investigate that, all that steel there. So we got a lot of anomalies, and we got a lot of things that historically are not being brought out, but I suggest that you try to get a hold of some of Alex Jones's video or DVDs. I don't even know if he makes them in DVDs or if he still sells them or not. But see if you can get a hold of that from the past, or get his book, Descent into Tyranny, or other people's books, you see. And when the engineers study it, they see that the buildings get taken down, but it's like they implode, boop, 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 and the floors are going pop, 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 like cutting charges. When they pull a building in Vegas or in other big cities, when the professional demolition people do it. And that prior to 9/11, in weeks prior, there was a group of quote-unquote painters, quote-unquote allegedly painters, who were doing work inside of the Twin Trade Towers in the shell areas and doing some kind of painting. Was thermite painted on, some kind of a thermite special paint that would then act as a cutting charge when it was torched up or ignited in some fashion? Well, that's the kind of thing that you got to be aware of and understand. So the New World Order people, hire the jihadi Joes, okay? And then allow them even to come in. If you go back to Sheikh Rahman, the blind sheikh, he was allowed in special out of Saudi Arabia or somewhere on a special visa, kind of a trick visa that was approved like bingo, and no time at all to bring him in. And then other people came in, and all these people, and the FBI sat and watched them and was watching them for years. And then at the last moment, they fired the guy, their inside man, because he won't wear a wire. And then in the midst of all of that, boom, they attack and blow the first bomb at the Twin Trade Towers that was cooked by Ramzi Youssef, okay? So this is a historic stuff. This is the stuff that you no longer hear. This is the stuff that you've got to look at. And then it got to be 9-1-1 was an inside job. But then that was then turned, and then there was massive wars in the info war world, accusing of conspiracy theorists and this and that and the other. But when you go to cases and you look at all of the evidence, then you see a much different picture. But if you just know that Osama bin Laden, who in the CIA they called him Tim Osman, O-S-M-A-N, and then they called him Osama bin Laden, who was a business partner of George W. Bush in Arbusto Energy. Documented back. Well, how is that? Saddam Hussein was a business partner of George Herbert Walker Bush, because George Herbert Walker Bush and allegedly the Liedtke brothers of Chicago owned the Pennzoil Corporation, and when Texaco tried to take over the Pennzoil, they sued and won a $17 billion judgment in the Texas Supreme Court, and George Herbert Walker Bush and the Leakey brothers then took over basically the board of Texaco, and they found out that Saddam Hussein, all of this is relevant, you see. It's modern history that's not taught. that Saddam Hussein was getting a 10% per barrel kickback or backsheesh on every barrel of oil that he sold to Texaco. So allegedly, Poppy Bush said, well, Saddam, when I was head of the CIA, I put you in power as a young assassin anyway inside of Iraq. And then you took over, so now I'm going to come back to you and say, hey, look, me and you is going to split that 10% per barrel. How about that? Saddam says, fine. So they split, allegedly, billions and billions of dollars annually for a while. But then, as typical of the Arbusto clan, they turn on their business partners. All right? So then they go after old Saddam, all right? And he gets suckered in, and then they side with the Kuwaitis instead against Saddam. And then in Kuwait, for a number of years after the first Gulf War, in Kuwait, on the birthday of George Herbert Walker Bush, they did the sword dance in celebration of George Herbert Walker Bush. And then when they were liberated, Kuwait was liberated, a plane went to the airport there in Kuwait, and the Kuwaitis loaded that plane with gold and gold, all kinds of gold coins, gold, fixtures, gold lighting, just tons of gold, old master paintings, jeweled swords, jewels, jewelry, all kind of stuff, and filled up a transport craft, and all that was taken back to, allegedly, to where Poppy Bush might, look through it, you see. It all goes back in through that same era, and you go back into Centaur Rose, Operation Centaur Rose, run by Black Rose, codename Black Rose, which was allegedly Poppy Bush, and there you have the Arkansas hootenannies, where you bring in the cocaine into Arkansas, and then you ship out the guns that were tricked out, where they used like maybe the upper receiver one and the lower of another, and they made them and they didn't put numbers on them, and they created that and they shipped them down to the Contras. And then exchange the dope came back, and then when the money would come back, then it was laundered, allegedly, through the Arkansas Development Finance Authority, which was run by Larry Nichols or Billy Clinton. And then at the beginning of the month, they would have like, 10, 15, $20 million in it. At the end of the month, they had zero. 2 days later, they had another 10 or 20 million or whatever, allegedly, according to Larry Nichols. And then that was then loaned out to create the Arkansas Miracle, when Slick Willie and Centaur Rose and the Rose Law Firm, is there any? And that's when Hillary was such a genius in one trade in, what was it, cattle futures or something, or pork belly futures or whatever it was. I believe it was cattle. In one trade in the commodities market, she made like $175,000 in her first trade. Isn't that great? So, as they say, the rest is history in a sense, but it's history that's not being taught, and I am just trying to stimulate any young listeners or older ones that perhaps did not know to investigate some of this on yourself. Now, I'm going to tell you what, right now, though, let me say this. If you are not getting on to Steve Quayle's Mega Drought, The Vanishing Waters, and it's a film by Steve. The global catastrophe is about to trigger water wars. If you're paying attention, you're seeing this happening. It'll cause, he says, the greatest migration of humanity in Earth's history. And I'm going to tell you what, Steve said that close to 25 years ago. And he predicted it back then. Also, you can still get his 5-disc DVD set of the Extinction Protocols, which had the largest response of any conference that Brother Quayle ever had. But you can also go to Steve and talk to Daryl, his manager, talk to Steve himself, or to Tyler, his son, and you can get gold or silver or platinum. And you also can get from them, you can get real high-quality night vision. He's got all kinds of stuff that you've got. And then what I like tremendously always is the books. Steve Quayle's books, which if computers get blown out of the water some point here in the future, that you've got to get the books that Steve has put out, all right, and Cascadia and the films, Mars and Earth Wars, Jesus, The Premise of the Promise, that's one of the best books Steve has ever written. All the different ones that he's done. Terminated. The End of Man is Here, that's one of his culminating books that's just tremendous. I like Empire Beneath the Ice. And Angel Wars. And his books that he first started, you know, Weather Wars and other disasters, you see. Or Aliens and Fallen Angels, Offsprings of the Gods, or his Giants books, or his Little Creatures books, or his True Legends about the Native Americans and all the different people. And then all of the films and all of the stuff. Just incredible. If you are to avail yourself and if your children and grandchildren want to know and understand where we, how we got to what's getting ready to happen and is now in fact happening as we speak, we're going beyond. We're already have been in the beginning of sorrows per Lord Jesus in Matthew 24. We've been in the beginning of sorrows. We're now going into other parts that are getting into what I think, and you could say would be more of the Great Tribulation. It's all getting ready to pop. So, understand the history to know where we're coming, because so you can know quickly where we're going, but at the same time, you need to prepare. You need to prepare in earnest, in all different categories for what's to come, because if you do not have your own home or your own capability as your own supply sergeant, let's say, your own general store, that's a good way of putting it too, then you may not be able to handle what's getting ready to come. And is already breaking into the thing. Because, you see, Red China Joe said we're going to be. So we're trying to do all of this so we can get ready and handle this pandemic so we can be ready and also have the infrastructure, you see, for the next pandemics, which will happen, he says. They're going to give you more of the COVID, but I'm also starting to see that in France, the bird flu is coming out. And you remember I talked to you years ago, 204, 205, about how there was this new bird flu coming out in the ducks and the geese and stuff, not far from Calgary, Alberta, where allegedly the Lee family, L-I, had a clinic up there and a research clinic. And that same type of years in those era, the Lee family were also involved in the worldwide symposium on microbiology and bioweapons and all this kind of stuff. And that allegedly they're also an Illuminati family that were friendly with Arbustos, the Bushes, because Poppy Bush was a, what? Ambo, an ambassador to China, okay? And then he was CIA director, and then the Shanghai Country Club was partially owned by his brother, Bush's brother. What was it, Marvin? Marvin Bush, I believe, owned half of the, or part of the Shanghai Country Club. It just gets wilder and wilder and deeper, you see, ladies and gentlemen. because the same Luciferians, the same Lucys, and Nazis, and commies, and whatever the ism is of the ism, the tyranny, the tyrannical isms, you see. It's the same crew. And it's been going all down the, up and down the line for quite some time. Civil War is about ready to start, is basically already started in a sense. And we're drawing maps and we're looking at this and that and the other. And when the President of the United States says that he is going to get governors out of the way, and it looks like a number of states are filing, I think it's about 19, filing against this overstepping of the mandate or this unconstitutional vaccine mandated list. These are the updated list, apparently, as far as I know, Alaska, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, Iowa, Arkansas, Idaho, Indiana, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama. Hello to all the brothers in the kudzu there. Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, West Virginia, and Arizona. And there may be more of them coming out, and that there's nearly 80 million people that Biden wants to come and attack because he's tired, he's fed up with you. So you've got to figure out that at least these people are going to try to sue the federal government about all this stuff. Now, I'm living in a state that's not, Kansas. And there's other states that are not, but I'll tell you what, that doesn't make any difference in a sense. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says, my job is to protect your individual freedom. My job is not to protect corporate freedom. We have a society in Florida where people can make the best decisions for themselves and their families, and that's what we're doing by protecting against these vaccine mandates. So this is going to be quite the thing. And you could see NORTHCOM possibly try to invade a Florida or a Texas or whatever. Missouri's Governor Mike Parson said the Biden administration's recent announcement seeking to dictate personal freedom and private business decision is an insult to our American principles of individual liberty and free enterprise. The heavy-handed action by the federal government is unwelcome in our state and its potentially dangerous consequences for working families. Vaccination protects from serious illness, but the decision to get vaccinated is a private health care decision that should remain as such. My administration, he said, will always fight back against federal power grabs and government overreach that threatens to limit our freedoms. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says, Biden's vaccine mandate is assault on private businesses. I issued an executive order protecting Texans' right to choose whether they get the COVID vaccine and added it to the special session agenda. Texas is already working to halt this power grab. The 65th governor of Mississippi, Tate Reeves, says the president has no authority to require that Americans inject themselves because of their employment at a private business. The vaccine itself is life-saving, he says. I disagree with that, but this unconstitutional move is terrifying. This is still America, and we still believe in the freedom from tyrants. Okay, well, anyway, there's others quotes there. You can look at that, and that's up. America's Civil War map has already been drawn. So I'm going to tell you what. I will also say this to you. This thing about September the 18th, you know, so 18 is three sixes, isn't it? You got 9/11 and all that kind of stuff. You got all these dates, wild dates. 9/11, 9/18, you know, 1/6, you know, it's like all these sixes and all the stuff. The same group I'd noticed in the narratives talking about the upcoming supposedly protest at the Capitol on September 18th, and I'm going to state it unequivocally. Do not go to another dog pile that is being engineered and created behind the scenes by the Luciferian scum at the top of the intelligence world, like the FBI, the CIA, the DIA, the EIEIO, the NSA, the top of the legislative branch and the executive branch, and others, to try to lure you back in to another scenario where they could then use their agent provocateurs to say, let's charge on in and get Nancy. Let's do this or do that or do the other. Don't do it. Don't show up. And I'm going to tell you what to do. Instead, you go out and you buy more food, more water filtration and water storage devices and carrying devices like the water blocks or the barrels or whatever you got. Get yourself medical supplies. Get yourself extra firewood for the winter. Extra clothes for the winter season or whatever. If you're going to the summer season, get them for that. Another set of boots, firearms, and thousands of rounds of ammunition so that you can have them at the ready. When it is the time, when it is the time, as is guaranteed and delineated in the Declaration of Independence. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them, meaning the American people, under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. That's the Declaration of Independence. But I'm going to tell you something. Be ready for the counterpunch, for when they do come down the street. And then you might want to listen to old Mr. Solzhenitsyn. But remember that 12 October 2008, George W. Bush put the document Domestic Insurgency in the Declaration of Martial Law, which is an army document, out there, and they talk about cordon insurgency and how they're going to take over and do this and fight the people in the streets and cordon the neighborhoods and search out the domestic terrorists and all that. And old Solzhenitsyn said, oh, how he burned in the camps later, thinking, what would things have been like if even the security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive and had to say goodbye to his family, or if during times of periods of mass arrests. As, for example, Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, and people had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs door, and at every step on the staircase, but had understood they had nothing left to lose, and had boldly set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of a half a dozen people with axes, hammers, pokers, or whatever else was at hand, the organs would very quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have ground to a halt if we didn't love freedom enough. And even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. Then we purely and simply deserved everything that happened afterward. Alexander I. Solzhenitsyn. You see, this is the thing. We're going for the Gog-Magog War, and then it's going to transition into other things. And then it's going to be, eventually, 200 million man army at Armageddon. Versus the remnants, you know, of what's left, standing for the Lord Jesus, and his archangels are going to come, and they're going to fight it out there at Armageddon. And they're going to send the Lucys back into the fiery furnace. So I'm going to tell you, you want to keep old Hawk in the air, and I hope you do. Anything is most needed and most welcome. Better reserve notes. Very easy. And, or a little bit of gold, a little bit of silver. Silver dollar, silver quarter, silver dime. Ounce of silver, 10th ounce gold, whatever it might be. Or a check. Send it to Hawk, H-A-W-K, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. And Lord Jesus, will you also remember Cressa, Lord? Remember Cressa, and we go and touch her and to give her a medical miracle. And to my friend in the nut house, will you go to her and we say, Lord, will you remove the pain that she has and provide her a medical miracle? And Lord Jesus, will you go to our friend in Florida, our grandmother friend who fought the meth head, and will you provide a medical miracle for her? Will you go to my buddy in Beatrice and provide a medical miracle for him? Will you go to my friend, the Mars Hill Gang's honcho, and will you provide a medical miracle for him? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there's so many out there, so many ones that I could talk to you about. Oh, and let me put another one in to a friend of mine, Paul, in Missouri. If you will, Lord Jesus, if you will go to him and remove the aneurysm, dissipate it from behind his eye, Lord, will you provide him with a medical miracle today, Lord Jesus? In your name I pray, Lord Jesus, and people, don't go into their Luciferian night without a fight. Stand for the Lord Jesus. Stand for your family and your Bill of Rights. Mighty men and women of valor, use your high technology. Strike blows against the enemies of the Lord Jesus and against America. And those who would compromise and destroy it. Fandango Rangers, I know you're ready. Old Piccolo Mickey, you and family. I pray you welcome the Lord Jesus behind me. Voted back. God bless you. Do your study. Do your workout. Do your food.